Okay, well, interesting enough, this sermon is about spirit power. Probably a lot of what just happened is what he's going to say again. Oh, I have a great announcement. So we are going to have a continuation of the fast. How many of you are sad that the written fast is done? I am. However, we're going to have a living fast and a living word that is going to come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. This week, right here at Liberty Life Center. And so when you come to the house on tomorrow night, we're going to be praising, we're going to be worshiping, and we're going to be winning. Amen? And so, and on Sunday, Bishop is coming. Woo! And so some of you know Bishop and some of you don't know Bishop. And that would be really sad because he's been an amazing pastor, an amazing bishop, an amazing mentor, an amazing friend to me and to this house. And in our darkest times, he always shows up. Whenever we need him, he always is there. And so as he has gone through things in his life, which he was talking about last week in his sermon, there were things that he had to face that were unbelievable for him to overcome. But he is going... Well, he has overcome them. And so I've watched him be, what do we call him? A bull. Yeah. We call him a bull because he's just like, he just keeps pressing forward and pressing forward and pressing forward. And I am telling you that if you ever think that you cannot win and you get in the presence of Bishop, all of a sudden you'll know you can. You'll know what the word has to say about it, and you'll know that there is no stopping us, that there is no setting aside, and there is no toning down, not with Bishop and not with the Spirit of God. And so I believe he has a word for us, and he didn't even know it was the end of our fast. So a Sunday, he'll be here for the end of our fast, and I can't wait to see what he brings. Recently, he celebrated 50 years of ministry. 50. And so... yeah, that's pretty amazing. So when he comes, he will bring all that wisdom with him. Now, I went to that service, and when I went there, John Avanzini was there. And so they did a whole, they really honored Bishop and Pastor Kathy and their whole family. And I think they did the best they've ever done. But when John Avanzini came up, you know, I don't know if you know who John Avanzini is, but John Avanzini is a man of the word. I mean, that man knows the word upside down and inside out. And so when he got up to talk about Bishop, he went up there with like this many pages. And then because of time, he only gave like three of four of those pages. And I was like, so I saw him come down and hand those pages to Bishop. Now that's a mistake unless you want to share them. So I called Bishop and I said, I want those pages because I want to know exactly how that man of God was going to continue to honor you and honor the God in you. And he goes, I'm going to send them to you, but I'm having them typed up. He still writes longhand. And so there's hope for all of us to get into the next century. So I'm going to get those pages and I'm going to know. But I want you to come next week. I want you to be excited about coming. I want you to bring somebody because there's an impartation that comes from the one that we are under, because he oversees our church. And if we come with expectancy, we will get what he is bringing. Amen? Amen. Okay, so beginning tomorrow night, as I said, we'll be meeting for prayer and worship and whatever else the Spirit wants to do. So I want you to know that in this today, this is just the starter kit. So as I was writing the sermon yesterday, it just kept going and going and going as usual. And then I realized part of it was for tomorrow night. Now, all I can tell you is it'll be deeper tomorrow night. Because God has set aside this time to take us into what he's been telling us he's going to take us into. And so he is going to take us deeper and higher, and I'm going to explain some things that if you come and you don't want to know the deep things of God, you may not understand. But even if you come and you don't understand my words, you will understand the Spirit, because the Spirit is going to come and the Spirit is going to change things. And so I'm just saying, I kept the deeper parts, page 2, which goes over there for tomorrow night. All right, so this is the starter kit. So we learned last week that there is a road less traveled, and the road less traveled is the road, however, that you get the most reward. Happy birthday, Paul. And so the best part being a deeper relationship with God that enables us to not only be fulfilled, but we read last week that it will bring us success and prosperity. Now, we think always when we say success and prosperity, we normally go to checkbooks and bank accounts and everything else. And how many of you know that God includes money in his blessings? But how many of you know that's not the most important blessing? It will come with the blessing of us being grown up in the Spirit and trusting God at a different level. Because when he becomes our all in all, he provides all he is, and it shows up for us. Okay, so the first key to stay on the road less traveled was what? Let's see if anybody listened. The road of, oh, see? Darn, it was only 3 points, people. I kept it to 3 points. The road of the Spirit. Say the road of the Spirit. Now look at your neighbor and say, if she asks that again, you better remember, it's the road of the Spirit. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So now let me ask you this. So how would you assess your relationship with the Holy Spirit? How would you assess your relationship with the Holy Spirit? So do you talk to him? Do you have an ongoing relationship with him? Do you count on him? How much do you interact with the Spirit anyway? Do you only interact with him when you're praying in tongues, begging God for something? Because that's what we usually do. We have something in our mind. We're like, we need this, Jesus. And then we go, okay, the Spirit can get it to us. But that is not the type of relationship that God intended for us to have with the Spirit of Almighty God. How many of you know he is the third person of the Trinity? So if I asked you, assess your relationship with Jesus, how many of you go, oh yeah. Okay, you're good with Jesus, right? Okay, but that should be the same way or more that you express yourself with the Holy Spirit and with the Father God. I mean, this is what we need to live like. And so listen to what, and I'm not making this up. Here's your scripture, 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. So keep that up there. So we get from Jesus the grace, because it was by grace that we were saved. You understand? We didn't deserve it. We could never earn it. By grace, we received our salvation. Praise the Lord for his sacrifice. Amen? The love of God. This is what we have to concentrate on. God is love. Now, if we're conforming to his image, that means we have to be lovers. We have to act with love at all times. But listen what he says. And the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. And the reason why he says it that way is because when Jesus left, he said, I have to go. Because if I go, then the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, will come and he will abide in you and he will teach you all things. He's going to be the one who comforts you, the one who teaches you, the one who walks with you. But higher than that, he is the one that is going to show us the personalities and what we need from the Father and the Son by revelation. Well, that's good stuff, Pastor Ron. Okay, so communion means partnership and participation. And so we get to share things together. You and the Holy Spirit, you're supposed to be like this. He's supposed to be your best friend. You're supposed to commune with him. You're supposed to know that you are partnering with him and that there is a participation that he requires from you. That means that he wants it to be interactive. If you've ever had a successful relationship, it is never one-sided. How many of you know that? It has to be back and forth, because it's from communion. It's from talking. It's from having a community. It's from that that we can be able to partner and to participate together. And so we have to get behind this formality of religion that we bought into. You know, hang out with God the way we're supposed to, by the Spirit. He is available 24/7. And he enjoys training us in the simplest way so we can learn to communicate with him on the bigger things. Because it's out of relationship that we realize our connection with him. And there's so much more than that. So recently I've just been, listen, I don't know what's going on, but I lose things all the time. I forget where I laid my phone. I forget where I put my keys. I locked myself out of the church the other day because I brought the wrong keys. I mean, really? Okay. And so every time I do something like that, I just say, I don't have time for this, Holy Spirit. Where is it? Immediately, I know where it is. Immediately, I know where it is. I can see it. I can picture it. I know exactly what to do. Now, that may seem like a small thing to you, but it has probably saved me an hour worth of time this week. And so I'm just saying, just knowing him, communing with him, and asking him that kind of stuff, that is how he builds our confidence in him, that we are aware that he is there all the time. And he cares about the small things, and he cares about the big things. Amen? And so the Holy Spirit is always there, and he wants us to be effective. Now, Ephesians 3:20 tells us this. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We love that part, don't we? Look at the next part. According to what? The power that worketh in us. Who's the power source inside of us? The Spirit. So we want the exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, but if we don't have any relationship with the Spirit, how are we going to act and get exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask? We may not even be asking the right things. He's the one that leads us into asking for the right things that will produce our success and our prosperity. So he knows all that is available to us, but we need to move with him if we're going to be affected by what we've already been given. But we need a motivation. Now, you are motivated by one thing or the other. I read this scripture last week, but I'll read it again. It's Romans 8:5, the Passion Translation. Those who are motivated by the flesh, so here's how you know, only pursue what benefits themselves. If you're only in pursuit of what benefits you, you're still walking according to the flesh. I didn't say it. The Bible did. But those, yay, who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. Now, think about those words. We have the ability to be moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. Once we have his impulses, he takes us to higher places in the spiritual realm. He gives us different desires. He gives us different spiritual realities. And so, if you are really close to the Holy Spirit, and you are, say that you're just see yourself holding his hand, then he is guiding you, he is leading you, and you can feel what is happening with him. You can receive his impulses. He can zap you. Have you ever been zapped by the Holy Ghost? He can take charge of your life if you give him permission to. But we have to give him permission to. So, and the King James Version, it says this: those that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. That means that the things of the flesh have control over your mind. You are given in to the things of the flesh. But those that are after the Spirit are after the Spirit. They get the things of the Spirit. That means that now your mind is being conformed and you're beginning to think differently and you're beginning to desire things that are different. You know, God does not take things away from you. God gives you an opportunity to have all things according to His will. Okay, so flesh is the carnal worldly desires that wants you to have carnal worldly desires. And so the things that you're after are actually the things that you've joined yourself to. It means that you are covered by that. So when we say those that are in darkness need to see a great light, they are covered by darkness because they've joined the flesh. I wish I could just have things like show up as I see them when I see them. Okay, and your mind is what you entertain yourself with and put your affection on. And so when we are putting our affection and just looking after the things that we want to please our flesh, you have to, oh, it's like Pigpen. Nobody knows Charles Schultz, do they? So it's a little cloud that hangs over your head. And so you are confused and there is chaos and you can get like depressed and you don't understand what's going on. And it's because you haven't taken authority and walked in the Spirit to break all that stuff up. But when you walk according to the Spirit, it says that then in this place and time, you can join yourself to the Spirit by setting your affection on the things that you need to set your affection in. And then the Spirit reins you in, curbs your flesh, and makes you sensitive to Him. That's good news. Isn't that what we're trying to do on this fast? Okay, let me just say pizza, ice cream, cake, cookies. Are you reining it in? Because if you are, you're having to do it by the Spirit. Okay, so that's one reason why we fast, is because we are saying, you're more important to us than the things I desire in the flesh. So my spirit is going to grow because I'm paying more attention to the Spirit. But don't you know this is not supposed to end in 21 days? This is just to get us into the habit of letting the Spirit reign over our lives. And so, okay, we need to deny the pursuit of our flesh. So John 17:11, the second half. So I ask that by the power of your name, protect each one that you have given me and watch over them so that they will be united as one, even as we are one. Do you know who prayed this prayer? Jesus. So do you think that the Father would answer Jesus' prayer? So then God is watching over us, and we are united with the Father and the Spirit as they are united. The Spirit unites us to the Father and Son, even as they are united. So that means that we have to be conscious of the fact that we need to just yield to the Spirit of God. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. See, we're wearing ourselves out trying to get sanctified when the Holy Spirit is the one that will bring sanctification. He is the one that's going to change our mind about what we do. He's going to change our mind about what we see. He's going to change our mind about where we go. He's going to lead us. And then we're going to be preserved blameless before the Lord. So you have to understand your body, soul, and spirit, and your spirit should be the one that rules over your life, not your body and not your soul. Amen? So He made the spirit part of you with the ability so that you can come into agreement with the Spirit of God, and you find Him and you listen to Him, and then He is your lead. Okay, so the Spirit enables us to be sensitive to what God is saying. And so when we are sensitive to what God is saying, oh man, I don't know how many times he's probably saved our lives. Have you ever been driving down the street, going in a familiar pathway, and all of a sudden you feel like you need to go a different direction? Who do you think that is? Right? Exactly. So the Spirit is guiding you. He's guiding you away from danger. Okay, what if you decided to go to a store, but all of a sudden you have this inclination to go to another store instead of the one you're used to, and then while you're in the store, God highlights some person that you're supposed to interact with. Who did that? The Holy Spirit. Okay, so if we can recognize those times of interaction with the Spirit and those times that we have given in to him, then we must know that we can also exercise that to a higher degree until we are actually living according to the Spirit, and look at how much more productive our life will be. So we'll be saved, we'll be healed, we'll be delivered, and we'll be able to bring the same to other people. If someone came in here today and they were obviously demon possessed, let's just call them legion, for they are many. So if they came busting through that door, who would you look to take care of that? You better not say me. This is the point. Jeff's the first one, okay. Jeff will just trip him and go, Pastor Don. This is the point of that, is that who is filled with the Spirit that has been given authority over every other spirit? Believers. Are you a believer? So why would your dependency be on me? Why wouldn't your dependency be on this? It's called relationship with the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm telling you people, and I don't want to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I think that we are going to have interactions like we have not experienced before. I believe that God is raising up his ecclesia, his bride, in order to be who we are always supposed to have been, and that we're all equipped, and you're going to know you're equipped, and you're going to be able to do whatever you need to do, whatever time you need to do it, with whomever you need to do it. But not if you're messing around with the world. You cannot have one foot inside of God's Holy Spirit and one foot inside of the world and try to think that's balance. That is stupid. That is imbalance. That is what will take you out. Because, you know, remember those sons of Sceva? You know, they thought they would just be like Paul. They would like, okay, well, if he can cast out demons, so can I. So they went to go cast out demons. And those demons jumped on them and beat the holy heck out of them. Okay? And they're like, Paul, I know, but I don't know who you are. You know why? Because they weren't being led by the Spirit. They hadn't exercised their senses with the Spirit. They're trying to do something just because somebody else did something. Well, you don't know the price that somebody else paid in order to be in the secret place of the Most High. You don't know how many hours they prayed. You don't know how much that they had to contain their flesh in order to walk according to their spirit. But now, this is not the season for a few people that have titles to be able to handle everything that's coming down the pike. Because there are things coming down the pike, people. And if you think you can sit on the sidelines and just watch somebody else take care of it, there won't be enough of us. But if you're a believer, you don't have to wait for somebody else. You just step in according to the Spirit of God, and you let that river flow. And when that river flows, it is no problem to bowl over the enemy. the enemy has no power that God hasn't already won over. And when you walk into that kind of a situation, you should not be afraid. I don't care. You know, demons are ugly and stupid, and they spit and they bite and they bark. And I mean, we've dealt with all that kind of stuff. They squirrel around on the floor. They act like snakes. They are weird because they're trying to intimidate you. All that is an outward expression of demonic activity that tries to intimidate you so that you think they are more powerful than you are. And when you know who you are and you have the power of the Spirit, you just go, shut up and get out. I remember at one of the encounters at Abundant Life, there was some lady, she had demons. And so she started acting up, and I just happened to be standing behind her. And so I went over there, and I laid hands on her, and I saw Bishop tell Dave, go see what, make sure Pastor Don's okay. I know him. Make sure Pastor Don's okay. And so I just said, I saw him coming, and I just go, I said now! And that lady went, boom, out on the floor, and the demons left. Why? Because I have authority. Because I know who I am in Jesus Christ. Because I have relationship with the Spirit. I didn't think it was an accident that I was standing where I was standing. I didn't think it was an accident that that lady went into her demonic fit. I thought she went into that demonic fit so somebody could set her free. I was in a conference one time. I swear this was a weird one. I was in a conference one time, and they're talking about how spirits manifest. And so the lady next to me, I swear to you, she started choking, and her throat started stretching, and she couldn't breathe. And so I'm trying not to be the one that draws attention. I'm like, God, why do I have to sit next to her? I mean, you know, the guy at the front is the guy in charge. Why doesn't he just, this lady's dying over here, you know? And he goes, that's why you're sitting there. I'm like, oh my God. Okay, so in the nicest way possible, I think, that is just going to be no big deal. She was sitting to my left, so I just went, come out of her right now in the name of Jesus. Boom! She screams. She falls out on the floor, flattened out, looks up at me and goes, thank you. And the whole room is staring at me, and I'm like, that's not what my intention was. My intention was just deliver the woman who needs to be delivered, which is what, it didn't give me an extra, you know, check mark that I'm an amazing woman of God. I am just a woman of God. I am just a spirit-filled, spirit-led person of God. They didn't know me from Adam. They didn't know I have a church. They didn't know I have a title. Who gives a flip? When somebody needs to be delivered, you're their deliverer if you know Jesus Christ, the deliverer. We got to get out of this religious whatever that we've been bound into, thinking that only certain people get to do certain things. For the love of God, don't you think he wants everybody free? That's why he gave you the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He's able to take us into and through every activity of the enemy with a win. With a win. Okay. Do you know that science even proves that prayer releases serotonin and dopamine into your brain? Now, some of you need some of that. And so instead of taking a pill, you can take the gospel. And you can stir yourself up in the Holy Ghost because he has the power to deliver you. Hallelujah. So these things start coming on you, and you go, oh my God, oh my God, what is happening? What is happening? I'm so depressed. I'm so whatever. I can't do this. How many of you ever thought that? I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. This is so hard. This is so tough. Listen, when you start going, shanda barasa karandam roshate bere sigranda barositi karata barosha satya barati, you know what that does? I'm getting dopamine, and I'm no longer going to be a dope. I get the amine part that wipes out the dope. All of a sudden, the serotonin, you know, they figured it out in the natural, but the natural is not really your answer. Come on, prayer is your answer. Praying in your heavenly language is your answer. Come on now, people, what are we doing? Playing games with God? We forgot who we are. We forgot who's transmitting to us. We forgot the power of the Holy Ghost and how important he is in our lives. I mean, what kind of Baptist church are we? Sorry, Baptists that speak in tongues. No harm. Just saying, we all need the revving up of the Spirit. Now listen to what the Word says. All they found in the medical was what we already know by the Bible. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He who is joined to the Lord. When do you get joined to the Lord? Upon salvation, right. Is what? One spirit with him. Hallelujah. We're trying to get what we already have. Oh my goodness. Okay, so when I read those words, what I want to do is I want to think about, like we talked about muttering and thinking over in our minds, what that actually means. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Now, if I am one spirit with Jesus, what does that make me capable of? Everything he did. What else? If I am one with him by the Spirit, I can think his thoughts. Well, can't I? If I am a one with him, then I can feel his feelings. I can get his compassion. I can have his instructions. I can have the wisdom to know what to do and when to do it. I mean, we are invincible if we really believe this scripture and we act on it. The weapons of our warfare, people, are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. How do we pull down those strongholds? Oh, I know. Understanding that I'm joined to the Lord and I am one spirit with him. Oh, man. You try to take me away from the Spirit, I am worthless. Have you ever had those days where you just are worthless? You ever had those days where you felt like, you know, the Spirit of God was somewhere else sitting on a bench somewhere and you're trying to find out where he is? But you don't have to live like that. But you have to keep yourself in him. You got to keep yourself aware of him. We are one spirit with him. And so it doesn't just make me want to shout that I am one spirit with him. It makes me want to reverence a God that actually allowed me to join him in the Spirit. I mean, this is why we have to reverence him. Because who could do this besides our God? Who thought everything through? Do you think that Adam and Eve's sin shocked God and he was like, what am I going to do now? No, he goes, listen, no problem. Jesus was slain from the foundations of the earth, and then the Spirit that I release to them is going to make them just like me. And then there's going to be a whole bunch of people empowered with the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that can do everything that he does and more. Because he said, greater things will you do. Why? There's a whole lot of us that are getting ready to get revved up. And the Spirit of God is going to come, and he is going to change this stupid old world into a place where God's rule and reign is going to be seen and known, because the kingdom of God is going to be seen and known through believers. Unashamed believers. Who know who they're joined with. You know, nobody could, if somebody said, you're not saved, would you let them steal your salvation by their words? Would you let them intimidate you into not being saved? Now, wouldn't that be ridiculous? But will you let people intimidate you into not praying in the Spirit in front of them? Will we let people intimidate us into not letting the Spirit rule and reign in this church? You better say no. But you know, there's always that temptation, because that's what the world has done. Well, let's not let the Holy Spirit out of his box on Sunday, because we might scare somebody away. You know, those seekers, they're coming and they don't know what to expect. I know what they should get, though. They should get power. And there ain't no power with the Holy Ghost sitting in the other room. If you're ashamed of the power of God, then you're ashamed of God. You cannot separate the Trinity. Oh, God is love. We'll let him out. Jesus is compassionate. We'll let him in. The Spirit is the power. Keep him in the hall. What if he does something we don't understand? What if he goes ahead and acts up through somebody? It's going to happen, people. And it's not that he is acting. Well, maybe it is that he's going to act out. Because I've had some pretty weird experiences myself, haven't you? I have been slain in the Spirit. What does that mean? That means the power of God comes on you and you can't stand up anymore. And down you go, because this human body can't contain or handle the things of the Spirit. And so how do you explain that in the natural? You don't. You explain it in the Spirit. You just go ahead and let it happen, though. So what, I got pinned to the floor before. I've told you those experiences. Couldn't move. I remember Cindy Taylor laying on the floor with her head up like this. Is this okay, Pastor Todd? I'm like, yeah, it's the Spirit of God. But you can't explain those things. How do you explain those things? I don't know how long you were pinned on the floor. A long time. We, as a body of Christ, we have been pinned on the floor many times by the power of the Holy Ghost. And you know what? When you're down there and you're pinned by the Holy Ghost, you should enjoy it, because this is how you get refueled. But we don't get refueled because we don't want to look weird. Well, really? Because I've seen you look pretty weird. It depends on what you're excited about. It depends where you give your attention. You guys are all weird if you like sports. I don't even get that. But if you like sports, you're already weird. You start talking about food, I can get you revved up. I mean, I can start talking about food right now, and I can get your favorite things on the list, and I can pretend like I'm making, and I can make you salivate, man. I'm telling you right now, we're fasting, we'll get hungry. But the Spirit of God is wanting us to have hunger in his direction. He is going to rev up God's people into who they've always supposed to have been. And so he's coming because he is joined to us. And we have to get rid of the earthly, fleshly thinking and get the Spirit inside of us. Now, okay, this is part of my favorite scripture of all time. Well, I say this all the time because I love them all. But I do really love this one. We shouldn't pray and we shouldn't worship to make a connection to God. That's what we normally do. We go, oh, I can't wait to go to prayer. Then I'll connect to God. It'll be so good. I call it the yum part. You know, shandabara seradi. Oh, I feel him. I feel him. Okay, then you shut down. You quit pressing past that because you already got to the yum. So who needs to be fierce? Who needs to keep going? But no, we do that. Prayer gets us there. Worship, like today we pressed in. We pressed past the natural. We went into warfare. Yeah, you could feel something break in the atmosphere. Oh, yeah, then we got a connection with God. But I'm going to tell you how we have to change our mindset. We should pray and we should praise from a connection that we already have from him. Not to get a connection with him. We pray and we praise from the connection with him. Here he is, trying to get out. When we pray from the connection that we have with the Spirit, we are praying the perfect will of God for us as well as other people. Who knows what the Spirit has to pray about you? Right? But if we let him, he's praying for you. If we praise from our connection to him, we don't come in here and try to get revved up. We come in here and the Spirit, do you think the Spirit of God is so pleased to praise the name of the Lord? Do you think he is so happy when worship happens? Do you think the Father is like sitting on his throne and all those angels are going, holy, 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 and then we start saying, holy, holy, and we join with them in the heavenly realms, and people all over the earth are saying, holy, 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 and you think that doesn't bring pleasure to God? I mean, that is our connection. We come from connection and go to a different realm of connection because he's waiting for lovers that aren't ashamed to love him and call on his name and reverence him the way he deserves to be reverenced. And then nothing else matters because now we're sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus our Lord and we actually know it. I love it when we go into that realm. I love it when we go past the barriers that the enemy has built. That's my favorite. Okay, so here's my scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:9. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, this is where most people live. We live in the knowing that God has prepared something for us. But that's where we stop. We just go, yeah, God has something. You know, he's prepared something for me. He's got something for me. God is good. We can say all those words. Yeah, he's good. He's prepared something for me. Now, if I could only know what he prepared for me. If I could only know what my purpose is. If I only know, if somebody would just tell me what my dad, if Pastor John would just prophesy to me and give me my title, then I would know which direction to go. Believer, that's your title. Child of God, that's your title. Okay? So we stop there. And yet, we have to stay in pursuit of him until we find out what he has written for us personally. And when we are coming before God in reverence, in humility, in love, by the Spirit, he is already waiting for us. He's waiting for us to reveal to us. So the more we get to know him, the better we know him, the more of ourselves we discover. Okay. If we have impulses by the Spirit, it gives us the motivation for even more. And this is what we need to understand. There's only one way, and it's the way of the Spirit. So the next verse says this. I love it. But God. Say, but God. Now look at the tense. Has revealed. Has. Not he's going to. Not someday when you're perfected. No. Your natural eyes can't see. Your natural ears can't hear what God has prepared for you. But God has revealed them to us through what? His Spirit. Is that me? For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The Spirit searches what? All things. What things? And the deep things of God. Do you mean that there is deep things of God? Evidently. So we can not only know the things of God, we can know the deep things of God. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of ankle deep. I'm tired of knee deep. I'm tired of thigh deep. I want the deep things of God. I want to be immersed. Do I need to do a handheld? What is that? Is it this? Lower it. Nope. In the name of Jesus. Well, evidently we may have a problem still with this sound system. We'll see. It doesn't matter if it is, it's paid for. We do whatever we have to do. Do I need this? Yes, no, yes. Take this. I know how to do this. Okay. So God has revealed us these things to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, because it is revealed to us by the actual Spirit of the living God. Lovers of God, then, have an open door to the things that bring revelation of all that God has for them. Yeah, that's a wow. Lovers of God have an open door to the things that bring revelation of all that God has for them. Hallelujah. So, let me just insert this right here because it's been on my nerves lately. If it's on my nerves, it's on God's nerves. You can get addicted to other people's prophetic words. I mean, it's okay to know what some people are saying, but if you jump from prophet to prophet to prophet to prophet to prophet to try to figure out what's going on, you forgot who knows what's going on. Boom. You see, prophets know in part, don't they? We know in part. I'm a prophet. Don't ask me everything, because I don't have the answers to everything. I just know my part. My part this year was to tell you, stay in love and unity. That's your part from this prophet. Okay, now if you want to know more stuff, don't go to another prophet. Well, see? Satan doesn't like that. Too bad, Satan. Go to the Spirit of God that lives inside you. You know that he has discernment. He knows what's right. He knows what's wrong. He knows what God is saying. He knows what God isn't saying. He'll let you know. Have you ever listened to somebody that you used to listen to all the time? You know that prophets can make mistakes. Why is it that we hold prophets in a different place than we hold pastors? Do you think I've ever made a mistake? Some of us could list them out. You better forgive me, though. So the pastor has made mistakes, and yet you guys still love me. Every week I say I love you. Every week you say you love me back. So either you're lying or you forgave me. And so I believe you forgave me, all right? So as a prophet, prophets can make mistakes because prophets are led not by the Spirit, but they also can be led by their emotion. They can be led by what they think the Word of God is saying. They can be led in a different direction because they have Scripture to back it up. But let me tell you, you can back up almost anything in the Scripture. Anything that you want to, you can back it up. You can find some excuse for yourself. And so every person on this earth, including you, can make mistakes. And we love it when people forgive us of our mistakes, when we overlook mistakes, when we forgive people of their mistakes. But no, we don't have any mercy or any grace for the prophets. But my warning to you is this: do not depend on part. They only know in part. So if you listen to a whole bunch of them, you're going to be confused. I'm just saying, I tried to listen to some of them, and even they are in opposed to each other. So if you want to stay confused and in chaos, keep listening to a whole bunch of voices. Okay, you can get addicted to other preachers and what they're saying, other teachers and what they're saying. You can get addicted to somebody else's relationship with God. You start looking to them for the answers. You start looking to them instead of looking to God. You have to have your own relationship. You got to be led by the Spirit that's inside of you. I mean, there is a corporate anointing when we gather together and we begin to be together in the Spirit. There is a harmony, a symphony that begins to happen in the spirit realm that can take us to a different level. But that's not because we're feeding off of one person. It's because in harmony, we are going to a different place because there are many agreeing with the same thing by the Spirit. Do you understand? So we've got to get out of our fleshly way of operating in the Spirit. Well, okay. First Corinthians 2:11. I'm trying to grow you people up. We're the spirit of, we are the church that God is dependent on. We're going to face some things. If you don't learn how to face some things by the Spirit, you're not going to win. We better win. We better get tough, hardened to the difficulties, and very soft to the ways of the Spirit. Okay. So 1 Corinthians 2:11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Now, you know what's in you more than anybody else does because you only let out what you want other people to know. Is that true? So only you know what you're carrying around on the inside of you. You can carry fear, you can carry doubt, you can carry anger, you can carry unforgiveness, and you can be pretty good at covering that up. So only you, only a man knows what's really on the inside of him. But the good part is the next part. 1 Corinthians 2:11. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So now we just shifted into a different level because the Spirit of God knows everything about God. So as you know everything about you, this is telling us the Spirit knows everything about God. And guess what? He's willing to share it with you. That is incredible. We can know the God of the universe, the Creator. We can know Him in a personal way. He can take us down a path no one else can. He can reveal Himself to us. And all of those things that we couldn't get past, we can get past in a moment of time. It's just that He wants to do it. So we have received not the spirit of the world, thank you, God, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? That we may know the things that have been given to you after you paid for them. Free. They're free. Do you ever put, I know that the Dudleys have a little stick outside of their house and they put star fruit and they hang it on it. And it doesn't even say free. It just says star fruit. But people go by there and they take the star fruit all the time. Because if you hang something outside and it has something up, people assume you're giving it away. The Lord specifically says these are free. If you have a garage sale and you say everything's free, everybody comes. Because they want the free stuff. And yet here we are, and we have the Spirit of God that knows everything that God has for us, and He's given it to us for free, and we are not going to pick it up. We're just like, that's nice, but that's a little weird. I won't take that one. I'll take this one because, yeah, that's my personality. I'll take this gift. I won't take that gift. That one might cost me something, but it's free. Freely given to us by God. By God, our Father. Everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness has been given to us free. He's hanging it outside, and all we have to do is grab it and take it within by the Spirit of God within us, bearing witness with our spirit that it's ours, ours, ours. Amen? Then you have the power to know your own value. That is something everybody needs. You have the power to overcome every temptation. You have the power to love as God loves. You have the power to reach the very depths of God because He said so. He said we can go into the deep, and they are freely given to us by God. Okay, so people pay a lot of money to go to college, don't they? People pay to learn things in the natural because their pursuit can help them function at a higher level in different places of society. So they take their time, their energy, they give their attention to, they even pay with finances to pursue it because they know that in the future, not right now, they can't see it right now. They're just looking into the future and they're going, oh yeah, I want to do that. I could do that, possibly. If I give all of my time, all of my attention, all my finances, and I pay attention to everything they say, then possibly I can make a lot of money later. Right? Possibly. So they pursue everything they can because they possibly can have open doors of success and prosperity. Possibly. Do you understand how crazy this is? When we for sure have been freely given the things, the deep things of God by the Spirit, and we won't walk across the room to get it. We won't get on our knees to pursue Him. Listen, there's nothing wrong with higher education. Just so you know, I'm not mad if you're going to college. I'm just saying you're willing to give everything for college, but you're not willing to give anything to get to the Spirit. Here's the Spirit inside of you. He wants you to understand everything that God has for you, the deep things of God, and you're just like, I'm too busy. What are you too busy doing? Because whatever you're too busy doing, it's keeping you from who you really are. Do you know that God can even help you in college? Do you know that if you're taking a college course and you, after a while, would like to drop out of that course because it's too hard? Do you know that the Holy Spirit has the answers? Do you know that He could help you with wisdom? Do you know that He could give you straight A's? But see, we're not paying attention to the everyday working of the Spirit. We're just trying to do this in our own flesh, in our own strength. And that's why you're so exhausted and you don't have any time left. Because that's all you do, is spend time trying to do something that is hard on you to do, when all we have to do is walk by the Spirit and He will enable you to have success and prosperity. That's His promise. Okay. Whew. All right, I'm almost done. God's kingdom, oh wait, I have to say this because I liked it when I wrote it. We can be smarter than any scholar anywhere because the Spirit leads us to the very realm that they can't reach on their own. The realm where God is on the throne of our hearts and our minds. The realm where we receive inside trader information. And it's legal. Because it's freely given to us. And so the kingdom, the knowledge of the kingdom and everything that it contains is not only available to us, He welcomes us into the places where His wisdom overtakes our natural senses and we can live above where other people live. We can understand. How many times in the Word of God did people pray and get the wisdom to change a country and a nation? Well, did they come up on that on their own? You don't think that the flesh gave interpretations to dreams, do you? Because all those other wizards couldn't get the answer of what was going on. But when you call on a man of God who is walking according to the Spirit, they tap right into what is going on and can interpret what is needed. Well, that's how we're supposed to live. We walk according to the Spirit, and then we become the light and the life of God on the earth. We become the ones that has the wisdom. We become the ones who know what to do. You know, this the shift in our thinking has to be, is that what instead of what do I want to take in college? I don't know why I'm on college right now. Maybe because there's a lot of people that are trying to decide. Instead of asking, what do I want to take in college? Ask God, what should I take in college to change the world for you? What is going to give me a voice that is going to be able to impact somebody that will lean them towards you. Every place you go, you ought to be going, what can I say? What can I do? Where am I at? And how can the Spirit have preeminence in my life so that somebody else can know God at a deeper level? That's what we need to be doing. Not where can I make money? Where, you know, what is my business supposed to be? Here's your business. Be about the kingdom's business. Ugh. I lost my amen corner. Okay. If I go, okay, I'm gonna end with this. Well, no, I'm gonna kind of end with this. The work of the Spirit inside of you will energize you. When we come to prayer, we're usually all tired. We've already had a day. You know what I mean? We have a day. And so we come in here and we're like, whew. And then we start praying. And then all of a sudden, there is this second wind that blows. And then we get energized and then we can't shut up after. I watch you people. You stay. Like, you don't just bolt out the door. Now you're hanging around. You're talking about stuff. Everybody's saying, oh, this is so cool. This is what I got. This is what I got. Oh, how you doing? How you doing? You didn't go home. No, you know what? You got re-energized by the Spirit. You know how to stay without fatigue? Energized by the Spirit. Start giving the attention to the Spirit of God, and He will pray through you. And so when the Spirit is here, you have to understand, and this is where we're going to try to go tomorrow night. Revelation isn't really getting a new knowledge. So let that drop in you. Revelation is not getting a new knowledge. Revelation is receiving what you already know in the Spirit, and it manifests in your natural understanding. Because He knows all things. So now you're not getting a new revelation. You're just getting a revelation of what was already in there, that He already put in there, and now it begins to manifest in the natural so that you can think those thoughts, but they were already inside of you trying to get you to pay attention to them. So when you pay attention to Him, and when you give Him your attention and your affection, then we are led from spirit to spirit and glory to glory. Amen? And so I think that there is a revival awaiting us. And I think that we need to get out of a few things. Oh, Lord. Page whatever. Okay. Here's what your problem is. You ready to know what your problem is? Why you are not led by the Spirit? You like control. We don't want to let go. We like to be in control. We like to control how we talk. We like to control how we look. We like to control what we do. We like to control everything because we are people that like control. Oh, all you guys look so innocent. Don't even kid me. There's nothing, nobody in here doesn't like control. You like to control something. You probably like to control the TV set. You like to control what you watch. You like to control what you eat. You like to control. And so everybody likes something that they want to be in charge of. Well, the Holy Spirit is saying, give me control. And when He says, give me control, He doesn't mean sometimes. He means drop it. He means let go of all of the stupid stuff that you have control of and see what I can do when I'm in control. It is by the Spirit of the living God that we move and live and have our being. That is the way we're supposed to live. But no, we don't live because we have to control everything about ourselves because it makes us uncomfortable to lose control. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because what the Spirit of God is going to bring means you can't be a part of it. You have to just come along with Him. Every revival has always been that way. You remember that God said last year that he's going to take the good parts of the revival in the past and he's going to hold them and he's going to add them to what he's bringing, which means he is bringing something, but it means that he is bringing what is needed, and what he is bringing right now means we got to release our control and let him have control. Now, listen, throw something on the floor and see if it affects me. I can't stand things on the floor. So people go, you're a little OCD over that. Well, yeah, I am. As soon as I looked, I see something on the floor. If I saw that, that's why if I sit there and I see things, it distracts me the whole time. I don't know what that is. I don't know where that came from. But I can tell you, when I'm in this spirit, I could care less what's on the floor. Except for me. I want to be on the floor. Because the things of the spirit are not known in the natural, they're known by the spirit. And so God needs us to let loose of control, and he wants us to let loose of, get ready, a religious spirit. Now, here's what happens. A religious spirit demands more decency than the Holy Spirit does. So we want everything to be decent and in order, and we use that scripture all the time, and I think we've used it so much that the Spirit of God has given up on trying to infiltrate our services. Because what if he comes and he wants to wipe everybody out at one time? What if he just wants to zap the whole congregation? What if it just is crazy? What if it makes no sense to our senses? Like, remember the laughter revival? That was ridiculous. And it was God. And he healed people from it. Whenever there's been a mighty move of God, there's been a mighty move of the Spirit. And every time there's a mighty move of the Spirit, it comes with things we can't understand. Now, does that mean that the devil won't be trying to get involved and doing weird things? Yes, he'll come. He'll try to make it a mess. He'll try to make it not worth coming. He'll do all of those things. Well, we know how to deal with spirits, but we don't know how to yield to the Holy Spirit. We got to get back to yielding to the Holy Spirit. So, right now, I'm going to take authority over some things. So for all of you who know that you're in control, the rest of you are in denial. For all of you that know that you are a control freak in some areas, then I want you to say this. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm sorry that I have insisted on being in control. I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you to come into my life and to rule me once again. I yield my control to your control. Now I speak to the religious spirit. So come on, I speak to the religious spirit that demands more decency than God does. And I ask that you forgive me that I have caved in to obeying, that I have to be acceptable to the world. I don't want to be acceptable to the world. I want to be the light to the world. And I can only do that through the Spirit of God. So I give you every spirit that is operating through me that does not bring people to the feet of Jesus. I let go of it, and I call forth the Spirit of God and his freedom in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I loose in this church and in this congregation freedom. Freedom to hear from God. Freedom to operate in the Spirit. Freedom to be who God has called you to be. Freedom to speak what He tells you to speak. Freedom to run around if you want to run around. Fall out in the Spirit if you want to fall. I wish people would run to the altar and worship God. I wish I could see people getting excited about. I loose all of those things. Anything that the Holy Spirit designs, I am for. Anything that He has designated for every service, I am for. I am for you growing. I am for you being able to be raised up. I am for you to be able to be a light and salt in the world. And so I release the things of the Spirit to you, and that you will walk in obedience to them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. And I want it. Amen and amen. All right, so come tomorrow night, and I'm going to talk to you about some deep things. Some deep things, so you can go even deeper. Amen? Amen. Okay.